Hey, Moose Room listeners, Emily here. We at the Moose Room are busy getting ready for our May mental health series, and we want to hear from you. What questions do you have about mental health, mental illness, stress management, or anything in between? We would love to get your questions so we can answer them on our upcoming Ask the Expert episode for May Mental Health Awareness Month. Send your questions to themooseroom@umn.edu, or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 612-624-3610. Please note any questions or submissions that you send in will be kept anonymous. We appreciate your help and look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome to the Moose Room, everybody. The OG3 is here. Brad, Emily, and myself. We are recording a couple days before Thanksgiving. I am hosting a bunch of people at my house. Not sure if I'm looking forward to it or not. What are you up to, Emily, for Thanksgiving?
Well, you know, like I do anything, I celebrate big, so it's a multi-day affair. So I'll be with my dad's side of the family on Thursday, and then I also have Thanksgiving festivities on Friday and Saturday as well. Nice. And I will be making a turkey.
And you're making the turkey. That's a lot of responsibility.
I'm up for the challenge.
Well, we'll have to update everybody on how it goes. Bradley, what are you going to do?
Nice that you guys are partying and having turkey and everything like that. I'll be feeding calves. I'll be feeding my research calves all week. All my undergrads are going home. Everybody's ditching me. So the boss has to take control and do the work. So feeding calves.
Oh, well, everybody can think about Bradley when it's 20 degrees on
yes.
Thursday.
And play a little violin solo for
you.
You
don't have to feel sorry for me. I'm actually kind of looking forward to it. It's been a while since, you know, I've had the opportunity to just feed calves alone and
farm in solitude.
Everything. That's right. That's right. So there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
Since I became a dad, I have a whole new appreciation of just silence. Like it's a wonderful thing sometimes. And I might be looking forward to that too. All right. Let's quit screwing around and get into the topic today. Emily, as promised, is the star of the show today. The Emily Show, also Yay. Known as the Moose Room. And today we're talking about milking procedure. There's been a couple articles popping up in popular press about timing the milking procedure and how important it is. So we figured we better review it. And there's no one better to do that than Emily here.
Too kind, Joe.
So as we move into this, the timing is important. I mean, I used to do this in practice. I'd sit there with the stopwatch and record things. And it can vary quite a bit from dairy to dairy. So Emily, kind of tell me why this is so important to get these things right.
Yes. Well, and I want to say I've spent a lot of time in parlors with stopwatches too. And there is probably nothing that milkers hate more than that. Somebody in their way with a stopwatch. So, you know, the milking procedure and timing it out right is something that I've always had a lot of interest in. And I'm sure I'll do it more than once this episode, but have to shout out Dr. Jeff Renaud, really a big player in mastitis management and somatic cell count reduction and all of that, and practices in the parlor as well. So the reason that timing the milking just right in the parlor, I mean, there's a lot of things. The biggest goal is that, well, two big goals. As Jeff Renaud would say, you want to milk clean, dry, well-stimulated teats. And that's something that's going to take a little bit of time. And then also, you want to be maximizing your milk production. And so that really ties into the first one, too, with just making sure that cows are properly prepped for optimal letdown and, you know, that they're clean. That's really what we're looking for here.
The big thing is that if we do one of these pieces wrong, the whole thing falls apart. It's a chain. It's a domino effect. And especially good stimulation becomes important for making sure that we're not milking an udder that doesn't have milk there to milk yet. That could cause some teat damage. That can cause all sorts of different things that we don't want and can lead to mastitis. So
I can guarantee all three of us have heard this. And that is, you know, farmers will go, oh, well, as soon as I turn the milk pump on, they're just dripping milk. So we, you know, we don't do a lot of stimulation. Like, they know when the milk pump turns on. All right. I think that that helps. You know, that's auditory stimulation that can also help with milk letdown. Turning on your milk pump is not a replacement for stripping teats and massaging the udder. It's not a replacement for it. So if that's your milk letdown plan, you know, we need to think about adding a little more meat to that, just to make it effective and safer for the cow too, because if they have a machine on them and they're not letting anything down, then we get into damaged teat ends, damaged teats themselves, a whole host of problems.
That's the essence of it, is it causes a lot of problems, and it's going to actually make for more time later that you spend treating cows and messing around with cows that have problems than if you just try to do these things right from the get-go. All right, let's get into the actual procedure. So what do we do first?
Well, now, as far as procedure, I think every farm does it a little differently, and I'm not here to promote one way or another. My big thing is that you're just getting all the times of these different things in. So, you know, I've milked cows for my brother, so I'm just going to use what we do when we're milking there as an example. Again, this is not the right or wrong way to do it. This is just the one that's freshest in my mind and the one I have the muscle memory for. And so that is, once cows get in the parlor, then they get an initial wipe down with a rag. And then they get teat dip, and then they'll get stripped. And then they get one more wipe with a new clean rag. We use cloth rags. And then milking machine gets attached. So we do wipe, dip, strip, wipe, attach.
I mean, it can vary from farm to farm, and whatever you do, as long as you end up, like Emily said, with a clean, dry, well-stimulated teat to milk, it doesn't really matter too much. But the order can affect the timing of everything. So you just kind of have to work that out for your parlor, your setup, however you're doing it.
Yeah. And I like to kind of go through the times of these different tasks from shortest to longest. And then, yeah, you can see how they can plug into each other. You know, you can definitely find what works best for you. And I know, especially in parlor situations, to help get the timing right and space it out, they might be prepping four cows and then they go and attach. You know, so just finding out what's going to work in your parlor, or if you're milking in tie stalls too, how does that look to make sure that you're still getting that right prep leg time? And prep leg time is really, that's the full amount of time from initial stimulation or contact with the udder, with the teats, to when the milking machine is attached. But before we talk about how long that is, I'm going to start with stimulation. And I'm actually going to do this as a quiz for Bradley. Bradley, no cheating. So stimulation time, when we're talking about the teat skin surface getting stimulated, you know, from wiping, cleaning, stripping, what have you, how many seconds do you think we need for optimal letdown?
10.
All right, yeah. So 10 to 20 seconds.
And I'm not looking either.
Yeah, I can't confirm that, but it seemed like you were really thinking on it. So yes, 10 to 20 seconds. And again, that is how long you want to be stimulating the teat skin surface. And so yes, things like wiping are included in that, stripping is included in that. But again, really making sure that you are, you know, getting in there and really helping to stimulate that oxytocin for milk letdown.
It was a pretty educated guess. I don't know how I got that. So here we go. Brad's got sensors. Brad's got sensors.
Oh, geez.
Some milking parlors have auto stimulation. So I have the auto stimulator set for 10 seconds. So our milkers stimulate the teats automatically for 10 seconds beforehand. So we're still trying to do a manual stimulation, but then I also have an auto stimulator. So to provide some extra stimulation, maybe if changes in milkers or different things like that, you can at least get some consistent stimulation with the milking machine when it's on auto stimulate. Fun fact. Oh,
very interesting. Thanks for sharing that, Bradley. Although I will say I'm really a fan of before stripping each teat, because that also gives you the opportunity to visually examine the milk for, you know, any sign of mastitis, clumps, watery, bloody, anything like that. But yeah, and I think, like you said, Bradley, kind of adding in that machine stimulation just for a little extra. The recommended time is 10 to 20 seconds. But if your process is 25 or 30 seconds, I think that that's fine too. You don't need to be stimulating teats for a minute, but 10 to 20 seconds, give or take a little on the back end, I think is fine.
I think if you're not sure, you could always go a little bit longer, because we always tend to maybe understimulate as well. And that probably causes more problems.
Certainly does. So now the teats are stimulated. So Bradley, your next question, how long does teat dip need to be on the teat?
20 seconds.
Is that your final answer?
That is my answer. It may not be right, but
it's wrong.
Darn.
You were close. So it's 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
So 30 seconds contact time. So that is getting the teat dip on there and allowing it enough time to clean bacteria off of that teat skin surface. You know, I like to remind people too that before you dip, make sure that there's no visible, you know, debris or residue. You know, they get the little manure chunks or little hunks of dirt, or there's some shavings or straw or something in there. Get all that brushed away, just to make sure that the teat dip is in fact coming into full contact with the full teat skin surface there. You don't want to do it too quickly. It can be easy to miss a teat having complete coverage. I know my brother gets a little angry with me when I milk for him, because I go through a lot of teat dip, because that entire teat is going to be covered. And then also, you know, in post dip, or we use iodine, like I go through a lot, but I know that those cows are clean. So yeah, we want to leave that on for 30 seconds. 20 seconds is a little short. And this is another one too, where if it goes a little over, or you are timing it out and you're like, oh, it's actually 35 seconds, 40 seconds. That's okay, you know, because it's cleaning. So leaving it on there a little bit longer, you know, 10 more seconds is not going to be any sort of a detriment.
One of the things that I see when I'm being super annoying and bothering the milkers in the parlor is that we miss the teat end quite a bit when we're wiping that teat dip off. And what I see is that if you
the end like the tip, or the end where it attaches to the outer?
No, the end like the tip. Okay. The tip of the teat. And got if it. You don't, and because it has that sphincter there, there's lots of folds and little crevices at the end. And that's where a lot of dirt and everything else can sit and get missed when you wipe. So one of the things that I really harp on is getting a kind of a pinching motion on the very tip of that mm-hmm. teat to catch that. And you can see that in the parlor. If people aren't doing that and really paying attention to it, you can go by with a piece of gauze and just kind of wipe the end of that teat and catch a lot of grit and nastiness that's left behind. So just one of my soapbox things when I'm being annoying in a parlor.
That's a great point, Joe. And yeah, those little quick swab tests, just using a piece of gauze or paper towel, whatever you have on hand, is a great way to check. And you can also use that for checking teat dip coverage too. Have somebody dip a teat, and then if you take a paper towel, wrap it around the teat, hold it there for a second, take it off. It should be one full singular blot of teat dip. And if it's not, then the coverage isn't good. The contact time with teat dip is very, very important. And you need to make sure that you are setting everything up for effective contact time.
You've basically prepped the teat. You're going to wipe it again, but then you've got a little bit of time, it seems like, because if you have that contact time on there for 30 seconds and you're not wanting to put that milker on until at the bare minimum 60 seconds from your initial touching, you've got some time to kill, it seems like. So is that just prepping other cows as we move along?
Yes. Most often, like I said earlier on, you know, it seems like in most parlors, the standard is 4, but it also depends on the size of the parlor, you know, how many you have on each side. But yeah, so if you're doing that for about 4 cows, then by the time you get back to the first one, so you're going to go through and wipe them all. And then you're going to go through and dip them all. And then you're going through and stripping them all. And then you're going through and giving them another wipe, you know? So yeah, by the time you get back to cow 1 to attach the milking machine, yeah, the goal for prep leg time, so the total time this takes is 1 minute to 2 minutes. I like to see things a little closer on the 1 minute side, just for parlor efficiency too. We want to get, you know, we all have our goals. We want X turns per hour out of this parlor. And so that's something that contributes to it. But you may also find, you know, there are certain cows that need just a little more time to let down their milk, or you know, you can figure out how you want to have that timed out. But yeah, absolutely. So you don't want to get the machine on too soon. So that's why we recommend prepping multiple cows at once, because, you know, as you're finishing up with your last cow, your first cow is ready and has been standing there for about a minute or two.
Yeah, I'd love to be close to 1 minute if we can get parlor efficiency where it needs to be and just get cows through. The problem is that you got to focus on that stimulation phase, because if you don't do that well enough and then cows don't have milk there for the milker to milk, then you actually are causing more time to be wasted, because now your milker is doing the stimulation. You got to wait for that time, and then you end up basically with what's called bimodal letdown or bimodal milking, which is what's been covered in the popular press lately and why we're kind of doing this episode. And that's an issue, because there is some milk there, but not very much. Most of that milk is still up in the udder, in the glandular part of the udder. And if you don't stimulate enough, then that cow doesn't drop that milk all right away. And you end up with a bunch of milk coming right away that was just kind of there in the base or in the bottom of the udder. And then you have a big leg time where you don't see much milk because your milker is out actually doing the stimulation, waiting for the rest of the oxytocin to release and let everything down. And that's a bad deal. All sorts of complications from that, damaging to the teat end, milk still left in the udder, which is a big one. And that's where we talk about how Emily was talking about productivity that's lost, and then also increased just the mastitis and infections.
Yes. Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up, Joe. And I think too, whenever somebody says efficiency, a lot of people associate that with speed. And that's not the case. Efficiency is about doing things right and, you know, in a smooth pattern that you can just repeat over and over. You know, to me, that's efficiency. So even if it's something that's taking 2 hours, if you're doing it in a way that the process is always moving forward, then it's efficient. So that's how I view this. So when we talk about efficient milking or efficient parlors, it's not necessarily the parlor that preps cows the fastest or that has the most turns per hour. Those may be good benchmarks for checking on how your parlor is managed, but we really want to make sure that, you know, yes, we are giving cows 1 to 2 minutes to really fully get that milk down, to make sure that teat skin surface is completely clean. That's going to make the most efficient parlor. And yes, it will help make things go faster too, especially if you're not waiting for cows due to the bimodal letdown.
And just to put a number on it so people can have an idea of what we're talking about production-wise, basically what we're looking at is for every minute that milker's on an udder that's not been properly stimulated, we're talking about 7 pounds of milk per day. And that's a lot of milk. And you don't want to be losing out on that from a production standpoint. And then, like we talked about, all the other complications that can happen because of that.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that, you know, a lot of this comes down to training. You know, especially if you are milking in a parlor, it's quite likely you have employees doing that. And I know that we can't control what other people do. But, you know, I would just really stress the point that, you know, you need to be training the same procedure for everybody, you know, finding a way to make sure that is just, this is how we do it here. And we don't take shortcuts and we don't do it any other way. You know, having the milking procedure written out clearly and posted up on the parlor wall, or I've seen some really great ones where it's just pictures, it's not even words. So especially if you have employees that are, you know, English isn't their first language, or, you know, they speak some other language other than English, you know, they can just have that visual reminder like, okay, yeah, first I wipe. And then second, I'm, you know, going to do this. And then I do that, just with simple icons or pictures, can be a really useful way to try to keep everybody on the same page with that, because that's definitely something that I've heard a lot out in the field of like, well, yeah, well, we just have a few milkers that aren't doing it this way. And that may be, you know, habits they brought in from past jobs at other farms, or they think they have a better way or a better idea. So just make sure that if you do have, you know, employed milkers, that you're, you know, checking in with them regularly, making sure they're following the procedure. And if your employees have ideas too for how to change the milking procedure, as long as you're within that 1 to 2 minute prep leg time and you're getting enough contact time and stimulation time and all of that, hear out their ideas too.
A lot of this is coming down to employee buy-in, and if you can get them to buy into it, I find that explaining the why behind a lot of these things, and that if we do this correctly, especially spending the time up front stimulating that teat correctly, will save them time in the long run. That is a big motivator as well. Parlor size is a huge piece of this. A lot of dairies have outgrown their parlor and they have to be fast in the parlor. And I, like Emily said, I don't like frantic parlors. I think that is like the recipe for disaster when it comes to a milk prep. We want nice, smooth, calm, efficient parlors, but frantic parlors where people are just running to try to keep up, that's a recipe for disaster. So, and when we talk about that much milk on the table, 7 pounds of milk for every minute that we're milking a teat that's not properly stimulated, a parlor can, and additions or improvements to a parlor can pay for themselves very quickly. It also improves your employee retention, because I don't know a whole lot of people that can milk in a frantic, fast-paced way for 8 to 12 hours every day over and over and over again. You just burn through people pretty quickly. So kind of keep that in mind. There's a lot of benefits to having your parlor the correct size for your dairy.
You just gave me a really great visual there, Joe. And I think my next article, I'm going to title it, "Is Your Parlor More Like a Three-Ring Circus?" So I appreciate that.
Yeah, I think we've all seen that. Like I said, there's multiple effects. Employee retention with the labor issues in the industry is a big piece of it. It's a hard job. It's a tough job to do every day. And the more comfortable and easy that job can be, the better you're going to have, better time you're going to have keeping employees around.
Yeah, you don't want to create that really high stress situation for employees and high stress situation for your cows too.
We haven't covered what happens after the milker comes off. If we do everything right on the front end, we still got to do everything right on the backside. So what do I do when the milker comes off then?
Milker is going to come off and then hopefully in your parlor or barn, you're using a post-dip. Iodine is a really common one. And that's just like with your pre-dip, when you're prepping cows, you have got to make sure you're getting really good coverage. And that's one too, that you aren't going to wipe off. You're going to leave it on there. And so making sure they have good coverage. And the most important thing too, is you want to keep your cows standing for at least 30 minutes. As Joe already mentioned, what we're doing when we're working on milk letdown and that oxytocin release is the teat has a sphincter at the end. So we're wanting that sphincter to relax so that the milk can flow out more easily. And so once that sphincter is relaxed, it stays relaxed for a while. So 30 minutes it takes for the sphincter to reclose after milking. That's why we want to make sure that we're keeping those cows standing, because they're laying down, those sphincters are open. It is just an invitation to bacteria. And in addition to that too, you know, like I said, we leave the post-dip on the teats, and that needs a little time to dry too, because of course, especially if you use something like shavings for bedding, if they're laying down in that with wet teats, then they're going to have teats covered in shavings. And then that's going to be a big mess you have to deal with next time they come in for milking. We really focus on, you know, having water available to your cows right away so they can stand up and drink for a while. Lining feeding time, or at the very least pushing feet up after cows get milked, just to encourage them to eat, and that keeps them standing for that 30 minutes. That's a really important thing to do.
And soapbox time for Joe again. I know you guys are so excited. the return alley is one of my big things that I look at when I'm talking about parlor management, because that sphincter's open when they come out of the parlor. If they're splashing through everything and there's manure getting splashed up into the front legs, you know it's getting splashed back onto the udder as well. I think that you have to be paying attention to that. You don't want standing water or manure in that return alley. It needs to be very clean so that we can protect that teat while it's still open. That's all.
Yeah, no, that's, yes, Joe, you are very, very right. And one little, number I have here for you that, you know, they estimate that up to 50% of new contagious mastitis infections could be prevented by just a really good, clean post-milking procedure. So getting those teats completely dipped, letting that dip stay on there for 30 minutes, keeping them standing for 30 minutes, all of those things can make a huge impact in preventing new infections, especially.
That's plenty to think about. There's a lot going on there.
Lots to ruminate on.
Ha. There is an article that matches some of the things that we're talking about today, and I will make sure that's in the show notes. With that, we'll wrap it up. Emily's got our plugs.
If you have questions, comments, or scathing rebuttals to today's episode, you can send us an email at themoosroom@umn.edu.
That's themoosroom@umn.edu.
For more information about milking procedure and all sorts of dairy and beef management, you can visit our website, extension.umn.edu. You can also find us on Twitter at UMN Newsroom and at UMN Farm Safety. I'm like, that's all I got. Let me say something. Can't breathe. Come on, Bradley, let's hear it.
Potpourri.
Hey, Bradley, say antibiotics.
Antibiotics.
Ah, yes.
Antibiotics.
Antibiotics.
And he's like outside working his ass off, comes in sweating and sits down to just be
harassed.
Hey, Moose Room listeners, Emily here. We at the Moose Room are busy getting ready for our May mental health series, and we want to hear from you. What questions do you have about mental health, mental illness, stress management, or anything in between? We would love to get your questions so we can answer them on our upcoming Ask the Expert episode for May Mental Health Awareness Month. Send your questions to themoosroom@umn.edu, or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 612-624-3610. Please note any questions or submissions that you send in will be kept anonymous. We appreciate your help and look forward to hearing from you.